Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome to WrestleMania 3! Here to see America, the beautiful, the queen of soul, Miss Aretha Franklin!
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 6 of Jeff Learns Wrestling. Yes, Jeff is still learning wrestling. Some have asked if he was still in the classroom, and he is. It's been a while, Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm good. It was kind of like a summer break.
Yes, after 5 episodes, we took the whole summer off. It was, you know, we were joking about it like last month because you're a man who has not ever really taken vacations. You are a mailman. You work like 7 or 8 days a week, a lot of hours. For a while, you didn't actually get vacation time. So there was like probably 15 years where a vacation to you was maybe like a Sunday.
Yeah.
And we start this show, which we had been talking about a project that we could do together for like years. And we finally found this one, and it's been great. We both love doing it. The response has been really good. We're fired up. And then you take 2 fucking long vacations.
I know, after 12 years of stockpiling vacation time, my family decided, you know what, you're going to use all of it now.
Right. So you went to Portugal, which we covered in previous episode. Then you went to Seattle for a wedding. And then I was away. And so we just couldn't connect. And we had a lot of people curious and worried that the show was over. But if they know us, we're not going anywhere. We'll be here for a while. It may take us forever to get to that point, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we're both busy men. You more so than me. But, you know, it's going to be worth the wait.
It will be worth the wait, and today's a big one, which we'll get to in a moment. But I thought I'd start with a funny anecdote. So you came over just now, and my wife and I were watching TV, and she mentioned that when we came downstairs to record the show, yes, we record in the basement, that she was going to watch Dancing with the Stars.
Man cave.
Yes, basement, we'll call it. Studio, PTBN Studios. So she mentioned she was going to watch Dancing with the Stars, and you asked her who was on. And she was running through some of the names, and she said, oh, a wrestler. She knew you were coming here to record a wrestling podcast. And she said, oh, a diva from WWE, Nikki Bella, is on. And I said, Jeff's not going to know that. We're only in 1987. And you said?
I said, what did I say?
You said, only if it's Moolah. That's the only one I would know.
Oh, right. It's so long ago, I forgot my own joke.
Yeah, so 3 minutes ago, but... Yeah, so it was...
Moolah, not on the season of Dancing with the Stars, if you all are wondering.
She's not, so...
It is a point.
So I thought it was funny. It kind of sets the tone for the show, for those that may be new to it, is that you are a complete novice to the world of wrestling, except for anything between, 84 and 87, which is where we are now, since you've started watching. So we touched on... We started right before WrestleMania 1. We went through WrestleMania 2. In our last episode, we watched some of the build to WrestleMania 3, that was a few matches throughout, you know, the winter. We looked at the build-up for Hogan and Andre and Steamboat and Savage. And coming off of that show, you seemed pretty hyped for 3. Did that hype stay up before you watched it? Were you ready to go? Were you pumped up to watch WrestleMania 3?
I haven't been that excited to watch an event since maybe, like, I don't know, Game 7 of the 2004 World Series or, like, the Super Bowl in 1995. It was pretty intense.
So you felt like you were in 1980, like you were... Like, it may as well have been March of 87 for you. That's how pumped up you were watching this for the first time after seeing the build up and kind of knowing this is really one of the first real big, like, seminal shows for the company.
Yeah. If you take away the fact that I was watching it on a smart TV with, like, a Roku remote, it really felt like I was in the 80s.
Okay.
My only regret is that I watched it by myself. Because if you're not around, there's nobody wants to watch wrestling with me.
And you did ask at one point, should we watch it together? But I think the novelty of this show is that we don't, because I would like to get your reactions. Hot here. I don't want to tell you anything while we're watching, because we're never going to sit there and watch in silence. We're going to talk about stuff, and I don't want you to learn before the show. I want you to learn on the show. That's the point, right?
Yeah, as a novice, I have to form my own opinions.
Yes.
And let all you people out there judge me for them.
Correct. All right, so here we are. We're in Pontiac, Michigan. 93,000 is the announced attendance. That is by the WWF. There have been people that have shot holes in that, said it was probably closer to 78 or so. WWF went with 93. They wanted to beat the Pope. who had visited there.
That's funny if it's a lie, because they kept saying the exact number. It was like 93,317 or something.
Yeah,
that's pretty elaborate.
Yeah, so it's...
Very Atlanta Falcons style.
It's always been a very contentious thing. There are people like Scott Criscolo who are steadfast in going with the 93,000. And then there are other people, including the promoter of the show, that claimed it was closer to 70.
Well, if Scott says it, it's true. Because I don't put it past the fact that Scott probably like picked up trash during a concert at that stadium someday or whatever.
Or
counted every seat one by one.
Or that he just watched it and counted as he watched every time. All right. So what were your first impressions of seeing that stadium, the look of it? It's obviously unlike anything we've watched so far to date. Did it make it feel even bigger to you to suddenly see this monstrosity of a stadium, even if it is 80,000, whatever it is, fans, wild, pumped up, the look of it, the lighting of it? Like, what was your first thoughts when you saw that?
It was crazy. It was like, it was magical. It was, you don't see a single event like that with such a crowd. I mean, usually it's like a game, like a sports event where people can look away and watch the Jumbotron and there's like downtime. The only thing I could compare it to was I saw Guns N' Roses at Gillette Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all these people in this giant place looking at this one little thing with a couple guys. Like, it was crazy. It's like surreal.
Yeah. So Vince McMahon comes out to the ring and he sets the stage, sets the tone. And he's gone on to say that he felt his father's presence in that moment when he's out there, and that this was kind of the culmination of all the work he had done to go national. And he brings out who to sing the national anthem?
Aretha Franklin. Probably the greatest intro to a well-respected musician of all time.
Yeah. So were you surprised to see Aretha slumming it, or did you feel like we're still a pretty big deal here in the WWF and it was fitting?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's, to me, knowing what wrestling has become, I guess, was it slumming at the time?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, if you think back to like WrestleMania 1 that we talked about, where we had the Rock and wrestling with Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper and all that stuff.
I mean, they already had Mr. T and Cyndi Lauper, and they had... Right. They had Alice Cooper today, so...
Joe Piscopo.
Joe Piscopo, I mean, that's huge.
So, yeah, WrestleMania 3 is kind of, we're getting toward the peak of, like, pop culture popularity and coolness. Like, after this, it still stays really popular as a form of entertainment for a while, but not, it doesn't have that zeitgeist of, like, pop culture like it had for those 3 years from 85 to 87, where like with MTV and big part of the music and, you know, like all that stuff, that starts to kind of taper off just a little bit.
I mean, Aretha was pretty huge at this time, right? I don't really have a...
Physically in.
Well, no, she was skinny.
Yeah, no,
I was watching her. I'm like,
Wait till we get to WrestleMania
fat.
23.
Oh, right. So she gained all the weight in the 90s. I didn't know if she got like bypass surgery. They didn't have bypass
surgery. No, she looked pretty good here. Yeah, she was definitely a big deal still. I mean, Queen of Motown, that's why they had her there.
When was Murphy Brown airing? Had Murphy Brown been on the air yet?
That was 80s into the early 90s.
All right, so she probably still had that Murphy Brown mojo.
By the way, I think I found Miles from Murphy Brown. He was the priest at Charlie's wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Should have got that on tape.
I'm pretty sure it's him. Looked just like him. All right, so Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura have the call. Did that excite you?
Absolutely. I mean, it's pretty much the greatest combo since, you know, Don Meredith and Howard Cosell.
Yeah, it's very good. Any thoughts on the guests? I guess we'll get to it maybe peppered throughout, but Bob Uecker, did you enjoy him?
No.
You didn't like the Uke?
Very down on Uecker and Mary Hart.
Oh, okay.
Mary Hart especially. I mean, she was just doing it like she was doing her own show. Like, she didn't really get into the whole wrestling mode.
Yeah. You didn't like the Uke, though. He's one of the more beloved celebrities for WWF.
Yeah, but I think that he was losing his fastball by then.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a comeback with Major League soon after, but I don't know. He just kept making the same jokes. It's kind of annoying. He didn't really fit in well with Jesse. They could have, like, had some kind of fighting back and forth or whatever.
Yeah. What about Andre Shokam?
Was that?
Oh, no. Maybe not. Sorry. That's the next year.
Stop spoiling stuff.
Sorry. It's hard to keep all this shit straight.
Andre chokes him?
Yeah, in a playful way.
Well, at least that means Andre's back. I thought maybe we'd never see Andre again.
Oh, no, we'll see Andre for a bit longer.
Oh, good.
All right, so why don't we get to our opening match? That is the Can-Am Connection. And by the way, we are talking through this whole show, so we're going to really make it up to everyone who's missed us. We're going through all, was it 14 matches, I think?
It is the most anticipated podcast in the history of wrestling podcasts, or perhaps podcasts in general.
Ever.
Much like how the show was billed by Gorilla over and over again.
Yes.
The greatest event in the history of sports.
It is happening. So 12 matches. We're going to cover them all tonight. Get your thoughts. Can-Am Connection against the Magnificent Morocco and Cowboy Bob Orton. We had seen Cowboy Bob and Morocco before.
Yeah, I remember the cowboy.
The Can-Ams, I don't think we've seen at all. Rick Martel and Tom Zenk. We have not seen
them. Zenk.
Zenk. Z-E-N-K.
Zenk. All right. I couldn't tell what he was saying. I thought he was saying Sink.
Yeah.
And it's like Tom Zenk. It's weird.
Yeah, Tom Zenk. The Z-Man.
They're one of those wrestling teams that, even though I just watched, right. I've probably watched this whole show like three times, and I just rewatched it today. And if you put them in the lineup, I couldn't pick them out. They're just like these, I don't know. Are they like a famous, do they ever have like a title shot or anything?
So Zenk is kind of a footnote. We don't see much more of him after this. He gets into a pissing match over money and walks. Rick Martel is a pretty legendary guy. Like, he was really good to this point as a babyface. He was in the AWA. That was a territory in Minnesota. That's where Hulk Hogan was when he really blew up.
AWA.
Yes. So Rick Martel was really good there. He had a great run in the WWF before in the 70s. He was a tag team champion. And he comes back here. So we'll see him for a while. He stays around for a while.
Oh, in the 70s. He looked good.
Yeah. He's in great shape. And
not
he's
like Mr. Wonderful with the aging. Yeah, no, doing much better.
Definitely not. He is aging well. But he, great baby face. I don't know if you picked that up at all in this, but very fiery, a lot of energy, always bouncing around, flying around.
Yeah, he was kind of had like a steamboat thing going.
Right.
Tito.
Yeah, yep. Very good charisma and connection. So we'll see him for a while. He's around to like the early 90s, so he doesn't go anywhere. We'll see Martel for a while. All right, any thoughts that you have kind of noted on this one?
Well, it was the first Pandemonium reference very early on into the...
right out of the gate.
Pandemonium, I think it was the 13-minute mark, drops the Pandemonium because all four guys in the ring. Also, the Irish Whip, which is a move I haven't heard before, and it was like in every match.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Irish Whip, which made me think of Blues Brothers with John Candy. He's like, Orange Whip, Orange Whip. I was like, oh, Irish Whip. Irish Whip's coming up. All right. And he nailed him with it.
So were you bothered by the physics of the Irish Whip at all, or are you buying in at this point?
It doesn't look like much. It doesn't look like much of a move. It just kind of looks like a twisty into the turnbuckle type thing.
Yeah, you're just whipping someone into something, basically. Yeah. So either the ropes.
There's nothing really Irish about it.
No. I guess maybe it began there. I don't know. In Ireland.
Invented in Ireland.
They're whipping the snakes. Maybe as they're eating the potatoes. Is that how that goes?
This match really set the tone for the sexual comments, though.
Yeah.
Like the innuendo. There was a lot of double teaming references. I think Jesse was like, that's too much double teaming for my book. And Gorilla it's got to be intentional. Just everything coming from behind and just so much like gay imagery.
Yeah.
Which I really like. I think it's amusing.
You're into it? Anything else on this one?
Wait. Who won?
The Can-Ams.
The Can-Ams won. Yeah. It was like kind of a dumb move, right? Like
it was kind of like a flashy finish where like they were both kind of hitting the ropes and then Martel.
And they pinned the big guy.
Morocco.
Does Morocco ever get like a bigger chance? He seems like pretty badass.
So he was bigger. He's kind of on the downside now. We didn't really watch a lot of his run. He was Intercontinental Champion for a long time. He had a pretty famous match with Superfly Jimmy Snuka that we could check out at some point. He is very divisive.
So I've like missed out on Superfly, huh? It's like over.
He'll be back, but he's kind of on fumes when he comes back. Like, we've missed really peak Superfly. So, there's some stuff we might have to go back and rewatch.
Maybe we can do, like, retro episodes.
Yeah, I think so. Once you get a good feel for where we're at, maybe, you know, maybe when we get to the end of the 80s, we'll do, like, some 80s stuff we missed before we hit the 1990.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Maybe we'll do something like that. But, no, Superfly, yeah, you missed peak Snuka when he was, I mean, there was a chance, he was big enough and over enough that he could have been, like, in Hulk Hogan's role at one point. Like, that's how,
oh, wow.
That's how hot he was. He also most likely murdered his girlfriend at that time.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Obviously, he's dead now. He just died this year. I don't mind spoiling this for you because he's kind of a piece of shit. But he...
That's so sad. He's so charismatic and nice looking.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to read up on it, Wikipedia. But basically, they found his girlfriend dead with her like head bashed in. And he played dumb when the cops came. Like, he couldn't... He just played his character, basically. And Vince McMahon came.
Kind of like the no legs guy?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how all those bullet holes ended up in there.
Right. He's kind of
a douche.
You know? He's like, I don't know how to talk. And the story goes that Vince McMahon showed up and kind of talked for
Paid
him.
Off the cops.
Or just talked for him. And then, but he was kind of into drugs and stuff, too. So, anyway, there's a legend of the Superfly. But anyway, Don Morocco, yeah, he's pretty much toward the end of his run here. Big juice guy, though.
They never talk about, like, the size. Like, in football, in the combines, they're always talking about how much a guy can bench press.
Yeah.
They never talk about, like, strength measurements, which I think they would. Like, Hogan's always mentioning his 24-inch pythons. Does he have the biggest biceps? Because Morocco's biceps look pretty big. Like,
yeah.
Him and Davy Boy.
David Boy's juice. Oh, there's a lot. The juice is flowing at this time.
I want to know who has the biggest muscles.
Morocco at this point may have. I mean, he was huge. Gassed beyond belief. And he gets even bigger, believe it or not, over the next year.
Jesus.
And he's still alive.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hasn't killed anyone?
No.
And he's not a racist?
Nope.
All right, good.
He's got...
I like hearing good news about this.
Yeah,
guys.
No, he actually has aged okay. He's very divisive. There are people that hate him and people that love him as far as being a wrestler. Like, some people just find him boring and pedantic, and some find his shtick pretty funny. Like, his whole character was like he was a lazy beach bum, basically. So there was matches where he'd beat up bum, like jobbers, and he'd eat sandwiches during the match and stuff.
That's nice. That's like a Brad Pitt during Ocean's 11 thing, just always eating.
Yeah, so, you know, something going on there. And he was with Mr. Fuji, and they had some funny, like, skits that they would do, Fuji Vice and other stuff, where they would mock TV shows, but it's really awful. Like, it was meant to be bad and campy, and it was.
Does Fuji ever talk?
Ah, yes, Jeffrey-san. Yeah, a little bit here and there. It was really a super stereotypical racist.
I didn't see any of his, like, backstage interviews, like Hart or the other guy.
We'll get more of him coming up, too.
Sits there looking evil with his hat.
The devious one. Gorilla says. All right, did you like this match overall? What'd you think?
It wasn't really memorable. I mean, I was still kind of riding the fumes of the Aretha Franklin, America the Beautiful.
Let me ask you this. And instead of, like, grade-wise, did they do their job as far as getting the show off to, like, a good start? Like,
yeah, it was a good way to introduce four people I didn't know, and it was kind of exciting.
Okay. So even for that crowd that night, do you feel like it was – they got the show started on a good note?
Yeah.
Kind of fast-paced.
A lot of energy.
Energy, yeah. Okay, that was their job.
Canada and America getting along.
Yeah, Can-Am.
Finally.
After all these years. All right, let's head over to match number two. Speaking of juice, it continues to flow heavily in this match with Billy Jack Haynes taking on...
You mean Billy Jerk?
Yes, Billy Jerk Haynes.
Billy Jerk Haynes, Justin.
Taking on the mighty Hercules, Hercules Hernandez, which is what he originally was called.
That's such a weird name, Hernandez.
He came in and he kind of had like a wild man look, and then Bobby Heenan bought his contract in 86 and refined him. He slimmed down. He's still really jacked up, but he slimmed down a little bit, cut his hair a little bit shorter. And he was a guy that I've learned to like more the more I've watched his stuff. He always kind of had a reputation of not being very good, but I think that is in his later years. So I thought here he was still kind of pretty decent. Billy Jack, I don't know. What are your thoughts? Give me your thoughts on the guys in the match.
Well, Hercules is definitely built like a guy named Hercules. Yeah. What's up with the chain? I mean, that doesn't match up at all. What does having a chain have anything to do with Hercules?
Greek god kind of thing, I guess. Did they
Greek
have
gods,
chains?
They didn't have chains, no.
No?
They might have had, like, a staff.
Lightning bolts. Perversion.
Rope, if anything. There's no metal chains in Greece. I thought that was dumb. Anyway, Billy Jack.
Is this to show his power? Is this, you know?
Yeah, Billy Jack had me singing that song Jimmy Mac the entire song. Because
that's another, a fucking deep cut oldies right there.
I know. Another funny anecdote from trivia. Me and my sister, the question was who sang this song.
Yeah.
Or what was the song called? And it was Jimmy Mac. And they always play a song that's a hint to the answer.
Right.
So we had no idea. So, I mean, they're just saying Jimmy.
Jimmy
so
she just wrote
Jimmy, and they gave us credit for it. It was hilarious. Like, we obviously had no idea what we're talking about, but the guy didn't catch that.
That was like the song. So
Billy
we're
Billy Jack, when are you coming back?
Billy Jack, he's on his back.
Now you will all think of that whenever you see him.
The we did trivia one time, and you know that song, like Bill, I love you. So that song,
yeah.
So they played
Wedding
that.
Bell Blues.
I didn't know the name. We put Bill, and they didn't give it to us. I wish we had your guy. They probably would have given it to us.
Got the Wedding Bell Blues.
Yeah, I didn't know the name of the song. I was kind of mad because I feel like all my dad listened to growing up was oldies.
That's why you should always invite me to trivia.
Yeah, I know. I probably did. You probably didn't come.
I thought it was pretty amusing, the premise of this match. Like, who is the best Phil Nelson giver in the world? I mean, that's just not something you see in normal competition.
The master of the Phil Nelson.
Like, this boxing match is not about who throws the most punches, it's about who has the nicest left hook.
Right.
It's just weird.
The master of the Phil Nelson.
It's such a weird move to be a master.
Did you feel like they did it well? That they fought over it well?
I think Billy Jack's Phil Nelson was really good.
Yeah.
But Hercules threw him in one where you could tell he wasn't really gripping on the guy.
He didn't have the fingers locked.
He didn't have the fingers locked.
As Gorilla says.
There was actually like space in between his hand and his head.
You got to get the fingers locked to really put the pressure on. If you don't, it's not on correctly.
Yeah, not a great sell.
No.
And but this match introduced one of my favorite parts of all of WrestleMania 3, which was the golf cart mini ring.
Yes.
Because the place is so big,
yep.
They had to drive them in this ridiculous tiny little ring.
It's the best, isn't it?
And they're going a little bit too fast. I think they should have practiced it
yeah.
and gone a little slower because they're going like zooming back by everyone's head in this tiny little ring. It looks so stupid.
It's such a nostalgic thing for wrestling fans, too, that like grew up. There's another WrestleMania coming up that has it. And there's so many fans that like always like want them to bring it back one time and stuff because but entrance is so big a big part now of the show they'll never do it. But.
They're like jacked up. They're like waiting to get in the ring, and some girl has to come unhook the, the little ropes.
It's like they're going VIP into the club. They're gonna open the ropes.
Yeah.
On oldies for a second, does it bother you that the oldies stations now are playing like 80s and even like dipping into the 90s a bit?
Well, yeah, I was listening to an oldie station on the way here.
B101.
It was B101 represent. 101.5. Is that out of Providence? I don't even know.
I think so, yeah.
It was Madonna, Material Girl, followed by Let It Be by the Beatles. Like, how is that grouping?
I mean, I remember when that station was like 50s and 60s.
Yeah, you know? It was like Motown and doo-wop.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And now it's just basically anything that just didn't just come out.
Right.
They'll play.
They're playing.
Well, anything before Cobain, basically.
And it makes me wonder, like, what is the draw? Like, is there really no market for like doo-wop in 60s anymore?
No, I guess they figure that.
I mean, aren't
anyone
those
who's old enough to be listening to those songs is playing like records because vinyl
see,
made it.
See,
comeback?
I would argue the opposite that people
or
those
so
age
old, they're not driving anymore.
No, they're not. That, like my dad, like that's the music he loves. He's 70. He's driving.
So your dad doesn't want to listen to like Steely Dan. He wants to listen to like Buddy Holly.
Right. He has me like make him CDs and shit.
Okay, I didn't know that about your dad.
Yeah, he loves like Motown and that music. So it's to me that I would think those are the people still listening to the radio. Like I'm listening to like Sirius and my you know iPhone with my music on it and stuff. Like I rarely listen to the actual radio at this point.
Well, we're at a weird age because for most of our adult lives, everything pop culture has evolved to make us happy.
Right.
And now we're teetering on that age where we don't really matter so much anymore.
Yeah.
So even the oldie stations have to play songs that guys who are like 29, 30 know. You know
I
what
guess.
I mean?
I think there'd be, I just feel like there'd be, I know I sound like Jim or something, but I feel like there'd be more.
I guess.
There'd be much more likely to draw.
I don't want to hear Madonna on the oldie station.
But everyone else is playing Madonna, playing the fucking oldies. No one else is playing that shit. Be the only one. Stand out.
All right. We can write a letter.
All right. Speaking of standing out. Well, actually, what'd you think of the post-match on this one? The chain beat down on the blood. I thought it looked cool with the lighting and everything.
I don't think you can make a guy bleed with a chain.
No?
Unless you whip him with it. He just had it in a bunch, and he was, like, tapping him on the head. You can't just... Like, he obviously, like, cut himself, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. But you don't think you can bust you open if I hit you with a chain in the head?
I don't. And I think the next episode, I'm going to buy a chain, and you can hit me with it on the head. Okay. I'll give you 5 times, and I don't think... I bet you $10 you can't make me bleed.
Okay. We'll do it at the end, so I don't want to give you a concussion during the show.
All right. And we can put it on, like, a video link to
yeah.
the podcast.
Okay.
So everyone can see.
We can put it on tout. All right. So what'd you think of any other thoughts on this match?
Let's see. The Brain was Hercules' manager, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that he like jump kicked Billy Jack
on the floor.
He's like such a porky little man. Yeah. It's like he's funny.
He recently passed away, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. He's great.
I feel terrible now. I didn't know that.
No, you can tell me. He would.
He's
love
very
it.
Talented.
He wants to be called a porky little man. That was his goal.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to make fun of his.
No, but he
stature.
Had. No, you should. It's okay. That was part of the gimmick. But I mean, he had legit. Like great comedic timing. Like he could have been a comedian or a TV movie star. Like that's how good he was with his timing and wit.
Yeah. I didn't like the count out. It was a really quick count out.
Yeah.
And you know, it's WrestleMania. It's the second match. Can't you at least have somebody land the full Nelson? Like why DQ him that quick? Like let somebody be the king. Oh, God forbid.
Yeah.
We settle it now. We want this full Nelson thing to go on into the future.
Yeah, pretty much. You have to get used to it. It becomes a big part of the WWF during this time is like they were afraid sometimes to they wanted to protect both guys and keep them strong for touring and whatnot, so you don't always get clean finishes.
Yeah, this match I really started to think about how fun it is to wrestle, and I started to think about asking you, can you get ring time? Because you can do like pile drivers and suplex. I just want to suplex somebody. You can't do that without the fancy canvas ring with the giveaways and stuff.
Like, I mean, you can go to like a training school Otherwise, you'd have to find a gym that maybe had like a boxing ring or something, I guess, and try it.
They should do that. They should, you know how like Fenway lets you run around the bases?
Yeah.
They should offer like, oh, hey, get in the ring with this wrestler and he'll suplex you. That'd be so fun.
Too many lawsuits on that.
That's true. I wonder, well, we'll get to the midget fight later.
Well, it's next, actually.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So you're done with this one?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Oh, Billy Jack was had Oregon pants on.
Yes.
Is this a common thing? People like representing their college?
No, he was a super into being representing Oregon. I don't know what it was. He loved it. And that was his thing.
He was not actually a duck. It's just the state.
He's just from Oregon, yeah. So he always wore the Oregon. He was in the Portland territory for a while, too. So
I wasn't sure if there was like an NCAA professional wrestling.
No, no. It wasn't like a March Madness tie-in or anything. It was, I don't know if Oregon was even good at that point. But he, yeah, no, he was just repping the Oregon University colors for whatever reason. But
yeah.
All right, let's head to our next match. And that is a six-person match. Hillbilly Jim, Little Beaver, and the Haiti Kid against King Kong Bundy, Lord Littlebrook, and Little Tokyo. So this is your first exposure to the midgets, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what were your thoughts about the midgets?
Well, they were saying midgets like pretty often, especially even
it was
like,
okay in the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like yeah. Mean Gene, like and the midgets and the midgets. I'm wondering if this match was directly responsible for the little people community coming together and being like, you know what, we don't want to be midgets anymore because of that WrestleMania thing. It made it like, really stupid.
We're little. We're just people that are little.
Yeah. I thought Bundy riding in on the little ring cart with the two midgets was like probably the best visual.
Yeah.
It's so funny. He's like this giant 7-foot-tall guy. These two little midgets in this tiny little ring.
What did you think of the overtly stereotypical gimmicks of the midgets?
Oh, it's not. Yes. Yeah, they weren't even like just midgets. They were culturally insensitive right. Stereotypes of midgets. Like the Haitian.
Yeah.
And who's the other one? The Tokyo.
Indian, Little Tokyo, Little the evil Japanese guy. Lori Littlebrook, the evil British guy.
Oh, my God.
And then Haiti Kid. And Little Beaver, I mean, the Indian. But they were, the midgets were, I mean.
The most offensive thing was the hillbilly being like, I'm not going to let anyone happen to these little people. Like, they're not children.
Right.
He's like holding them. He's like, oh, I'm gonna protect you guys. Don't you worry about it. That was the worst part.
It
that
is weird when he's like hugging them.
And they're like, yeah, thank you. Like, I'm older than you, hillbilly, you know? It's like, I don't need you to protect me, douche.
This is a great one.
I'm getting paid.
I can't remember who the hell it was. Special Delivery Jones made this one that we watched for Scott and I on the Place to Be podcast. And he has the midget on his knee. Oh, no, it's Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla is interviewing Haiti Kid, and he's sitting on his fucking knee. And he's interviewing.
Oh, my God.
I'll have to
terrible.
Show you the clip. Oh, it's great.
Oh, Gorilla.
Oh, it's awful.
That makes me think so low of Gorilla.
It's the 80s, man. Everything. But anyway, so the midgets were like, they would be brought in. They were like a circus act. I mean, really. They were brought in to like, whatever, entertain the crowd and put on a 15-minute. They had their standard match that they would do, a lot of comedy. They'd bite the referee in the ass. They'd run around in circles. They'd run through the leg. Like, they had a very specific routine.
That's surprising because once the match started, they're actually pretty good wrestlers.
They are. They're athletic.
Yeah, they're yeah. really
and they know
quick
how to work
and they're
tell the story.
Throwing each other around and doing moves and stuff.
I mean, I don't get the need to be very those stereotypical, but for whatever reason, this always was with the midgets.
Well, that's their opinion of wrestling crowds at the time.
Yeah. I know you really can't see this guy. He's so low. So, but now if you maybe see that he's an Indian, you'll get the point.
Look at that little Japanese guy.
Look at him. He's evil.
How is Bundy in this match? Like, didn't he just have a title shot in this awesome, epic cage match, and now he's doing these gimmicky fights?
So that was a year ago. But, yes, it's a pretty precipitous drop for him.
They're like, all right, well, Bundy did the body splash on somebody and lost, so now we got nothing else for you.
Kind of. Yeah, like he did some tag stuff throughout the year, but by the end, he was kind of, yeah, he was kind of just starting to lose his luster.
It's too bad, because he has a cool look and a cool name, but he doesn't really have anything behind his personality that gets people excited.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, you know, he should have come
was
up
with... Was Heenan out there with him for this?
I don't think so, because he was too busy screaming about how he's 2-for-0.
Right.
I am 2-for-0. He's like, oh yeah, the midgets too.
So Bundy. So I feel like they stuck him in this match, but they at least gave him the moment where he gets to kill the midgets. Like that's one of the most iconic moments in WrestleMania history. Like Bundy killing the midgets.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Like, how do they even practice that? That's so dangerous. Like talking about the lawsuit, he. Body slammed and then jumped on a tiny person.
Well, he knows how to not really land on him, you know.
Oh, kind of like Mike Tyson. He knows how to throw a punch without bruising?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
He knows how to... is like Robin Givens? This is a great Jesse fight, too, because he went all in on his heel. He's like, I hope they put the kibosh on these midgets.
And this is where Euchre showed up, too. And he's working in the midget jokes, too.
Yeah.
Did you like Haiti Kid's slippers?
I didn't notice.
Yeah. Little slippers.
See,
on.
That's one of the bonus things about you and I watching something together. You can point out little things that I might overlook.
Yeah. Like Haiti Kid's slippers. Were you a fan of Hillbilly Jim? Have we seen him before? Have we seen the Hillbillies?
We saw him once. I forget what it was for, but I don't know anything about wrestling, obviously, but I know that you shouldn't wrestle in jeans.
Yeah.
Like, I know
there's a lot of guys that wrestle
in
jeans.
Take the overalls off.
Yeah.
Kind of like Piper does with the kilt. The cowboy, you didn't see him wearing like spurs and chaps. Like, it's weird. Like, it's not, can't be comfortable. The guy's sweating under there.
The weird thing, too, is Hillbilly's like jacked. Like, there is a match where he got his overalls ripped off, and he has like a really good build. He's like a big upper body. He's kind of slim.
Yeah, the overalls were a mistake on his part. He could have sold himself better with, you know, a nice hat that he tossed off. Maybe he had like a piece of buckwheat, some good spandex with like, I don't know, picture Texas on it. Whatever.
The Mudlick, Kentucky. That's where he's from.
Kentucky, same thing.
The Hillbillies are big. Vince always has a fetish for Hillbillies, as we'll see over time. He's always like, have to work some kind of Hillbilly character in. He loves them. He loves making them like yokels, like real stupid.
Yeah, because there's so many people in the South who watch wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Friday Night Lights. You got to make the Hillbillies happy.
Okay.
No offense.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Midgets and Hillbillies. Any final thoughts on Midget Mania here? Scott
actually,
hates the midgets, by the way.
Why?
He just hates them. Can't stand them.
Like all midgets?
I don't know if it extends to all midgets. He hates midget wrestlers.
Is he one of these guys who like doesn't like people like Isaiah Thomas? Like, all basketball players should be tall. Why can't midgets fight? He probably doesn't even watch the WNBA, does he?
Probably not.
Classic that guy. Euchre had a funny line. He was talking about how much beaver there was. Like, there's beaver all over this place.
His stuff was legit sexual innuendo. Euchre, for sure.
Yeah, that was good. What I thought was funny is the match ends, and they're like, oh, the beaver's just lying there.
Yeah.
Hillbilly picks him up. He's like totally passed out. And they're like, all right, let's go to Mary Hart. And she's like, and we're here with Miss Elizabeth. Like, why wouldn't you at least say, oh, I hope the beaver's okay.
Right,
we'll
right.
update you later.
Well, she's like,
not even,
midges.
Yeah,
she's like,
even,
Scott.
That's ridiculous.
She's glad that he's dead.
I did not think that was very sensitive.
But did you feel like that's even though the match kind of sucked and it was a DQ, like, did you feel like that finish was worth it? Because it's so memorable, him killing the midgets and they all gang up on him.
Yes, I didn't think that would happen. I thought it would be some kind of weird, maybe double team finish. But for Bundy to actually pick up and body slam one of the guys was, you know, all aces. That was very entertaining.
So now you see why Hillbilly was so protective of them.
And it was great to see the lines of the boundaries being made. Like, all right, if I'm a midget, I'll fight against your midget.
All right.
But if the big guy messes with the midget, then the midgets are on your side now.
That's it, yes.
Like, no, that was not cool.
Right.
We're trying to beat you, but no,
you don't
I'm on their
the
side now.
Right. You know, it's like if you're all kind of in the same high school, might not like you, but when the guys from the other high school come, we're going to band together against that.
Yeah, nobody beats up my midget but me, I think, is the,
right, exactly.
The classic saying.
Yes. All right, let's head to our next match. The King, Harley Race, taking on the Junkyard Dog. We saw some of this in our last show, if you remember. They were part of that six-man elimination. Their feud was kind of part of that. So we've seen the build of their feud a little bit. But this is all really precipiced on the King wanting JYD to bow down to him. JYD has refused to bow down to him. He wants him to kiss his feet and respect him as the king of wrestling.
How could you not bow down to the king of all wrestling?
There you go. Very good. It's a good Harley.
I miss Harley Race. I forgot how much I liked him.
He's fun, isn't he?
No, I hate him.
Come on. What'd you think of Moolah, your girl, being the keeper of the crown?
It was pretty cool.
I feel like they just needed to have her on the show somehow. They felt like they jam her in here.
I think that she failed as a manager type because she didn't, like, express any concern.
Right.
Like, Heenan, he gets worried that his guy's getting beat up, but she's just sitting there smiling.
With the crown.
Which kind of gave away something.
Yeah. That she's an idiot.
Yeah.
She's
also a bad talker. She was interviewing, and she did the whole, and he will be crowned the king as he should be crowned. It's like, all right, can we get rid of the cue cards and right. just like talk like a normal person, Moolah?
She sucks. So you don't like Race, huh? I forgot about that.
I like his flipping ability. He's the best flipper out there.
He's a good flipper.
He's like one of those little bobby things you put in the water.
Yeah. He just bounces right around. Over,
like stays straight.
It's amazing.
It's like his patented thing.
And he was kind of old at this point, too. He had been wrestling for a long time, and he's still bumping around and bouncing around out there. JYD, have you noticed a deterioration for him since we first started watching?
Like a physical deterioration?
Yeah.
Oh, he looked kind of chubby, I guess.
Yeah.
It made sense that he's wearing a chain because he's a dog.
Right. So the chain is okay now.
So him and Hercules should get into something. Like, no, I wear the chain. We can't have two guys wearing chains.
So you're okay with a black man wearing the chain? That doesn't bother you?
Again, chains were not as popular during that time. They might have had chains in prisons, but...
Yeah. Well, I was referencing slavery, but...
Oh. Yeah, that's low. It's a dark moment.
It's not low. Social commentary.
If a hillbilly can be wearing overalls, I think a junkyard dog can have a
no,
chain.
No, it's fine. Yes, it makes perfect sense. He would be normally chained at a junkyard, but he's escaped and he's here to...
This was the first great Finkel moment.
Yeah.
Because after the match ends... I mean, I don't really remember much about the fighting. It was kind of a quick match. And basically...
Yeah, it's only like 3 minutes, I think.
Junkyard dog's only move is punching the guy in the head.
That's all he can do at this point. Punch and headbutt.
But afterwards... He's talking about he has to bow. Finkel's like, and as stipulated. That's just such a funny phrase to me for an right. announcer to say. Like, they couldn't think of any other way to say it. That's like the best thing he's ever said.
Have you noticed, I forget if we talked about this yet, the continuation of the black guy with the hard head? Like Race headbutts JYD and he hurts his own head.
Yeah.
And they call it out.
Was there another black guy who had a hard head?
They all do.
All of them?
Every Samoan and black guy all have hard heads. You'll see it.
I thought it was just a dog thing.
No, in the 80s, they call everyone. If you headbutt a black guy and you hurt yourself, and you're going to know better than that. You know, it's not going to hurt him.
Well, I guess that's okay. I mean, having a hard head is good, right? It's not negative.
Well, I think it's racist in the way that they're saying all black people
just because
have big,
they're black?
Big, thick skulls. And,
oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like kind of...
It's in Samoans. Yeah, kind of animals. Anyway,
another thing that I did not notice.
Yeah, you'll probably notice it now.
Maybe I'm racist. I don't know.
No, I think you're just innocent. It's 1987. You're 7 years old, 6 years old.
I am 7 years old.
Six, right? And your birthday is August. This is March.
This was like who just won the Super Bowl? That's how I remember my childhood.
This would be the Giants.
The Giants over the Broncos.
Yeah,
the Phil Simms game.
I think so.
Okay, now I'm there.
You're there.
I'm in it.
So you wouldn't have known. You were innocent at this point.
I blame my dad for so much. I'm kind of sad that I missed out on all this stuff.
Yeah.
To see this as a six-year-old would have been amazing.
I didn't see it either. All right, so what did you think? Any other thoughts on this one before we move on?
Well, I know he just bowed to decoy him, so he hit him with a chair, but he should just not bowed.
Right.
Like, what are they going to do? They can't...
They can fire him, not following through on his stipulations.
You're out of the league. We're not going to pay you because you didn't bow. I mean, it's...
That's the stipulation. You got to honor. He's the man. He's got to honor his
stipulation. The face shouldn't have to bow. If someone's got to bow, it's got to be the heel.
It's a shit bow.
I didn't like that. And what was up with the curtsy thing? That was dumb.
Yeah, it's the 80s.
That's offensive to women.
Not the 80s.
Nothing is offensive in the 80s.
Yeah, or not really. It wasn't until these millennials came around. All right, so match number 5. The Dream Team battling the Rougeau brothers, the fabulous Rougeau brothers, who I don't think we've seen yet. Jacques and Raymond, have we seen them?
No.
Okay. Dream Team, we've seen.
That's Beefcake and
Valentine,
Hammer, right?
Yeah. All right, so they've dropped down too quite a bit. If you remember last year, they lost the tag titles to the British Bulldogs with Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah. British Bulldogs!
Forever! So they've kind of... hung around a little bit since then. They've stayed as a team. Beefcake's gotten better and better. But this was really about establishing the Rougeaus and building them up a bit, as the Dream Team are pretty much done. So
they just wanted a French angle? Are they French or are they Canadian?
The Rougeaus?
Yeah.
French-Canadian.
Okay.
Montreal.
I mean, I guess they're okay. One guy had a mustache. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, they're pretty good in aerialists, and I don't know. You know, like them? Just okay?
I don't get Beefcake as a...
They're not horny for the Rougeaus?
I'm not super horny for them, no.
Okay.
But, you know, I didn't hear them talk. See, I'm a big personality guy. I need to like the person.
They are bland. They are bland.
I mean, I'm still learning the actual physical moves and stuff, so right. I can't just go, oh, he's a good wrestler. I need, like, the backstory.
Yeah, I get you.
I'll evolve to appreciate the finer things. But I don't know. Beefcake as a villain doesn't make sense to me. There's something about him.
Yeah.
He's like a barber. He's got long hair. He wears cool outfits. He's got, like, boyish good looks. I just feel like he should be a good guy.
Well, maybe soon.
Maybe.
Any other thoughts on this one? Still digging the hammer?
Yeah, the hammer was cool. I don't understand how he gets tougher the longer a match goes on, because that's not true for anybody.
That becomes his thing. That's like, Gorilla, he calls so many matches.
The more he gets beat up, the better he is.
Okay. Yeah, he calls so many matches that he has his tropes for every guy. So Valentine, it takes him 15 minutes to get warmed up, and then he's getting going. So I guess it's just get the blood flowing, get hit a little bit, kind of feeling it. And then he toughens up and, you know.
All right, it's the adrenaline.
Yeah, and saying a little lazy, I guess, to start, and then he gets fired up.
I do remember this was the first move that was like, oh, that was a great move. One guy was holding the hammer up. It was right before the end of the match.
Right.
And then the Rougeau guy jumped over his head and sort of hit him with his crotch.
Yeah, the Le Bomb de Rougeau.
That's what it called. That's funny. But, yeah, that was dangerous. He could have broken both of those guys' necks if he was a little short.
Yeah.
That looked like a successful hit.
It was successful. And what'd you think of Dino Bravo getting involved here?
I've never seen that guy before, but that was kind of douchey.
He sucks.
Douchey move.
You'll get to know him. He's not very good. But they leave Beefcake alone, jilted.
Yeah, they get on the cart, and Beefcake's like, what are you doing? They're like, no, you take the next one. We saw what you did. We're going to take this one and come back and pick you up later.
I feel like this turn wouldn't have been as effective without the carts there, because they could just really rub it in by leaving them behind in the cart, you know?
Yeah, they're like, hey, what am I supposed to do, walk?
Right, it's like they leave at a bar and they all get in the cab and leave the one guy behind that doesn't fit.
That was good.
How else am I supposed to get back there?
So this match had no implications or anything, right? It was just...
No implications. It was just a match.
They just want the Rougeaus to have a tag team.
Have a big win on the big stage.
It's cool.
Yeah. They like the Rougeaus.
But they lost.
Right.
So I guess they didn't do anything.
Correct. It's weird that I guess they wanted to put over Dino Bravo interfering. But yeah, it's weird the Dream Team won, even though they're pretty much done. But all right, let's get to one of the biggest matches on the card, and that is Rowdy Roddy Piper taking on the adorable one, Adrian Adonis, in a retirement haircut match. So the loser must have their head shaved, and it's also Roddy Piper's final match, because he's headed to Hollywood to become a big star.
I have a full-on man crush for Roddy Piper.
Yeah?
That guy is awesome. First of all, the only guy so far too cool to use the cart.
That's right.
He just ran right in.
Runs
he's
in.
He's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not
fuck
getting
your
on
cart,
that.
He said. Yeah,
fuck your cart.
Yeah.
That was great. He's like all hopped up. He's like on cocaine or something.
Yeah.
But like in
probably.
A good way. Probably on cocaine. Probably. Yes. But throughout the match, they kept, they kept flashing back to his show.
Yeah.
And even on the show, he's just so weird. He's such a weird guy.
That's his manic energy.
He's great.
So this has been built really well. Like, I think we've talked about it at times with Adrian Adonis, where he took over the Piper's Pit when Piper was out, turned into the flower shop,
yeah.
Turned Bob Orton against him. Bob Orton started wearing the pink. Piper came back and broke Adonis's arm, and then Adonis comes back and they've built up to here. The week before, Adonis accidentally cut Brutus Beefcake's hair in a match when he thought it was Piper, so he's pissed him off now. And yeah, this is it. This is Piper's farewell, maybe for now. Piper's farewell. And what do you think of a haircut stipulation? That's kind of an old wrestling trope. Do you dig it?
Yeah, I mean, the hair makes the man. Yeah. I've always said that. And apologies to Josh Rock. But that's big.
He's a guy that's better with no hair.
Yeah.
The hair he had wasn't great.
No. It was, you know, kind of had the natural bowl cut thing going on. Anyway, enough about him. I thought it was really funny that Adonis was like, yeah, I'm going to cut your hair. What style you want? The DA? The Oxford? The Harvard? He's like going through all these different names of haircuts, which I thought was funny. And this also led to a great Finkel moment. It was a close behind the S stipulated. He was like, and the loser will have his head clean shaved. That's such a weird thing to say. I wish I had that guy just following me around, narrating everything.
He could make millions just doing that shit. He does do, like, weddings and stuff. You should have him do your wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Brittany would love that.
That'd be great. Oh, he'd really play it up.
And do you take this man?
Well, no, he does. I should correct myself. I think he does receptions.
Oh, like
he'll introduce the wedding party and stuff.
Like a DJ?
Yeah.
She would hate that anyway.
Whatever. She doesn't have to care.
I'm not with the right one. I got to find someone who'll let... What's his first name? Howard?
Yes.
Finkel?
I would let it. So maybe we should just...
I keep thinking of Ray Finkel from
yes.
Ace Ventura.
I think I drove by his house a couple weeks ago in Florida, by the way.
Nice.
Are you still liking the Adonis gimmick? I think you liked it before, right? The flamboyant...
Yeah, he's breaking boundaries,
I think.
Yeah,
he went whole hog on it.
He's a tough tranny.
Yeah.
There's a big market for that, even to this day.
And they... Gorilla and Jesse, I mean, they always had to work in, like, oh, he's tougher than he looks, you know, like stuff like that. Just really, you know,
he doesn't fight like a girl,
right?
And all the hashtag like a girl people are like, nah, yeah. That's not what we say anymore.
All right, so what'd you think of the match itself?
It was a good match.
Yeah,
Piper is awesome. He was beating up both guys at the same time.
Yeah,
just like whirlwind, like. Throwing them in and out of the ring.
You could tell he was like, he thought this was it. Right? Because he's just kind of going crazy out there, just letting it fly.
Yeah, he wasn't holding anything back for like a downfall or rematch or anything.
Right.
I didn't like the belt, though. I don't care who you are. If you're the good guy, don't hit someone with a belt. Like, if you're going to fight me, then you can body slam me, you can punch me.
But this is a real
whip
blood
me with something.
Adonis is beating him.
Oh, I hate it.
Adonis beat him with a crutch and like,
annoying. It's like, you know, when someone bites you, like biting, whipping, all that stuff. I don't like it.
Yeah.
This featured the double noggin knocker. Is that is that a real thing, or did Monsoon just make it up?
Well,
double noggin knocker. He sounded like so legit.
I mean, it is a real thing. I don't know if he created the name or not, but what did you do? You like what do you think of like Adonis is bumping around for a big guy?
He's pretty athletic.
Yeah.
He's kind of got that Jack Black gene.
Right.
The nimble fat guy thing.
Well, you know, David Wells, I think we've compared him to before.
What was the thing that the mouth sprayed Piper with?
That was the atomizer, his perfume. Sprayed in his
That's
eyes.
What he uses. It looked like a Bugs Bunny thing, you know, when he's like irrigating the...
It's so ridiculous. It's just this giant fucking spray bottle.
That's what he uses as perfume. That's great.
And then, so he gets, this is the part I hate the most, when he has the big giant fucking hedge clippers.
Yeah.
And he goes to hit him, and they bounce off the ropes, and he hits himself in the head with them.
Yeah.
That's always driven me nuts. It's like, if you're going to do it, you've come this far, just really fucking bounce them into your head. Like, he kind of bounced
like,
them, looked at
and
them, and then, like, moved his head into them.
There were a few bad fake punches throughout the show. There was a couple in the Can-Am connection fight, and there was a really bad atomic drop. I forget who it was. But they brought the guy down, and it was a good foot off the guy's knee.
Right, right. It just kind of slides off.
Yeah. But, you know, it's 1987.
No HD.
I was actually watching some of it with Brittany, and she said, was this popular in 1987 because the TVs weren't as good? Like, the reception was fuzzy? Like, yeah, it's possible.
I don't think it was that fuzzy at 87. I mean,
no.
It wasn't sharp.
She's just not on board.
Yeah. Well, she's young. Stupid.
I'm surprised. When do they start?
She doesn't listen to this, does she?
Probably not, but I'm sure she'd be fine with it.
Let her know I'm joking on that part.
There's no cursing. Like, you know, the commentators don't really curse, but, like, it's pay-per-view. Like, why wouldn't they?
It was a very heavy kid-oriented promotion.
So all the racial stuff is fine and the blood.
But that was normal at that time.
Well, I'm pretty sure...
The racial stuff was normalized in the 80s.
I'm going to cue it up for you, but I'm pretty sure Adonis screamed, what the fuck?
Oh, he may have.
After he cut his hair and they show him the mirror, he goes, what the fuck?
I'm sure he may have. But you'll see, when we get to like the Attitude Era in the late 90s, that stuff picks up because they're more aimed at teenagers at that point. It's still an adult product, but they're selling so much merchandise and toys to kids.
Right.
That they didn't want to offend any kind of
sponsor.
Kids
love swearing.
It was more of like a sponsor thing. You know, it's like... And even the pay-per-view, I mean, you could do what you wanted, but I think they had if they wanted a certain rating, you know, they couldn't swear, like if they wanted a PG rating or whatever to be able to have that, so.
The haircut took a long time.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Piper kept looking over. and he wasn't getting much hair off. Like, I thought you were a barber. You're like a shitty barber.
Well, this is the debut of the barber. This is where he starts becoming the barber. He does
this. Oh, I thought he'd been cutting hair for like years.
No. He starts cutting and strutting right after this. This makes him the barber now. Well, he was just Brutus Beefcake.
He needs some more lessons with the clippers.
Punk. He gets better.
I mean, they had the hedge clippers, but you can't cut hair with hedge clippers.
Right.
It's impossible.
No, he comes out with the razors and...
Why does Gorilla call him Brutai? Like the plural of
just
Brutus?
Just Gorilla. Giving him a nickname.
Oh, I don't like it.
Jeff Rye.
You see the fan run into the ring?
Yes.
That was pretty cool because Piper was nice to him.
Yeah, he didn't beat the shit out of him like most do.
No, he like smiled and like patted him on the shoulder. So the guy probably got thrown out, but he's
right.
immortalized.
Had his moment.
Yeah.
There's a video on YouTube out there of fan attacks gone wrong and stuff, like where fans jump in the ring and just get the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah. That's dangerous.
Yeah. Not smart.
I would never do that. But it was cool because, you know, some people are just really bad with that stuff. Like Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
Remember when Troy Aikman was on the practice field and some woman run out and he'd like act like he was scared? Like, dude, it's just some soccer mom who likes you.
She's not nice. I mean, Monica Seles thought that too, and then she got stabbed.
Well, she didn't even see that coming.
The
Monica Seles thing was interesting because she was out for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Paul Pierce was stabbed 8 times and he was back in like 2 weeks.
So you're saying Pierce is a false flag?
Well, you know, some people are cool with getting stabbed and some people aren't.
Yeah. I guess you could say maybe Pierce, like, was at a club, kind of in the atmosphere. Seles was just sitting on the tennis court. And she got, like, if Pierce got stabbed on the basketball court, it might have been a little different because you get ambushed in the safe space.
The saddest thing about the Monica Seles stabbing is that the guy who did it was a Steffi Graf fan and he succeeded. Steffi Graf ended up with more titles than Monica Seles.
Just like Tanya Harding.
I wonder if he's still alive because he must be pissed that Serena Williams passed her. Suck on that, German guy.
He's probably dead. All right, any final thoughts on Piper? If this was it for him, have you enjoyed what you've seen?
Yes, it was a great send-off. At the end of the match, it was kind of funny because Gorilla was like, Jess, can you think of a better way to leave? And then he gets on the little tiny cart thing. He's like, nope, this is what I wanted.
Yeah,
my last moment
it.
To be on a little golf cart.
Waving to everyone. The win, though, when he gets a sleeper and Adonis passes out, like, the celebration's awesome. Like,
yeah.
That the crowd just goes fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, Piper's the best.
All right, so we're about halfway through the card. Why don't we take a break, kind of stretch a little bit, maybe get a haircut, grab a chain, and...
You got my hedge clippers in the back.
Get those, trim your beard, and we will take a break. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place Team Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com. And we offer those to you on 3 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Puri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes, and while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We are back, episode 6, Jeff Learns Wrestling, looking at all of WrestleMania 3, the epic return of the podcast here tonight. We are halfway through the card, Jeff, and has it lived up to your supercard expectations, or is it this back half that really puts it over the top for you?
No, it's been a great first half. Like, I can't believe there's a whole other bunch of even more important matches coming up.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So you like the way they've built the card so far?
Yeah.
You feel like we're really starting to get toward a crescendo?
Yeah, I like that the Piper match was, like, in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of a big deal, the retirement thing and everything. And
peak, and then we kind of come back down a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. We come up to a 6-man tag match where the Hart Foundation and Dangerous Danny Davis take on...
Wait, Dangerous Danny Davis?
Yeah.
Bullshit. He doesn't deserve a nickname. How is he dangerous?
That's the joke.
Oh.
It's like calling a fat guy tiny.
That is funny.
Against the British Bulldogs and Dito Santana. So, if you remember, way back when, to one of our first episodes, when Tito
Santana...
All those months ago. When Tito Santana lost the Intercontinental title to Randy Savage, and he hit him with a thing.
Almost died.
And Danny Davis was the referee. And I said, just remember that.
I do.
Just remember
I'll
that.
Never forget. Hashtag never forget.
So now we're here, and over the past couple months, Danny Davis, we saw it in the Hulk Hogan-Paul Orndorff match, too, with the cage, where Davis is kind of an asshole. Mm-hmm. He has got dirtier and dirtier, and it was revealed that he was working for Jimmy Hart. He helped the Hart Foundation win the tag team titles from the British Bulldogs, and then they fired him as a referee, and he becomes a wrestler. And they retconned that Tito thing. It wasn't in the plan then. But they said, oh, he also cost Tito Santana the Intercontinental title last year. And we're realizing it now. He helped him, you know, he allowed Randy Savage to cheat. So that's why Tito gets put in this match as well. He's got beef with Davis.
Is this the first ever 6-man tag team?
Since no.
All this? Oh,
okay. We watched one last show.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And that wasn't the first one either.
It just doesn't make sense. Tag team, like, how do you choose who to tag? Or at least have two people in at the same time. Can you have two people in at the same time?
No, it's one-on-one at all times.
Yeah.
Unless Katie by the door, things break down and it's pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
So Dynamite Kid at this point, too, I don't know if you noticed that he wasn't as active. He really fucked his back up late in 86 and was like barely wrestling at this point. He gutted through the title when they dropped to the Hart Foundation, kind of guts through this, and he's spotty for the rest of their run.
It did look like he shrank. They, like, take out some vertebrae or something?
Well, that, I think he was probably getting a little bit off the juice, too, probably because of his back just giving out. And he was definitely in pain, so he probably wasn't working out as much.
That's sad.
Yeah, his back was really fucked up. So, yeah, he doesn't do too much in this match. The Davey and Tito kind of carry the action.
Yeah.
You still digging Tito?
Yeah, he's crazy. It's all that Latin energy he's got, as Jesse would say.
The hot Latin blood is flowing hot.
Chico.
All right, so what else do you think of this one? Oh, that's right. We have Mary Hart and Euchre in this one as well. Jesse goes to get recognized by the crowd.
Yeah, Euchre was throwing out some more dirty jabs. He said the mouth was taking a pounding.
It's a dirty old man, Euchre.
I forget why Jesse talked at the beginning of it. Was he just making some weird announcement? Because there was a great Finkel moment.
Well, he goes down to just get recognized by the fans.
Okay. Like the man who allegedly tells it like it is. What do you mean, allegedly?
That'll be a theme at the Manias going forward. He always gets like introduced and like stands up and waves to the crowd and stuff.
It's right. I didn't pay $300,000 for this snakeskin suit for nothing. I want some microphone time.
All right, what else do you think of the six-man action?
I don't know. It was kind of. I don't know. Normal, I guess.
Yeah.
I really like Bret Hart.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen much of him yet.
You'll see plenty.
He's like the coolest guy ever. He's just cool. He's a cool dude.
Think so?
Yeah.
The shades.
He's got the shades.
The pink.
He's got the pink singlet. I mean, how can you, like, the anvil looks ridiculous in that thing.
Yeah.
But Bret, like, pulls it off.
That'd become his color. Rest of his career, pink.
It works. It's like the hair. It's like the dark hair and the pink thing.
Yeah.
It works.
So you don't like Anvil being poured into that suit?
No, you could probably slim down the gut a little bit.
He gets bigger, that gut. It is monstrous.
It's like you should be on Sons of Anarchy. Like, imagine next time you watch Sons of Anarchy, just one of those guys changing into a pink singlet. It just doesn't work.
Jive around on a bike. Did you enjoy the pile driver that Davey Boy gave Danny Davis, where he just, like, destroys him? You said you wanted a good pile driver.
Yeah, it was. Was that the one that was outside the ring?
No, it was inside.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember that, because Davis, like, popped up and then, like, went back down.
Yeah.
Terrible actor.
Yeah. Oh, he's awful. He's fine. I don't know what... I mean, the gimmick is pretty good, right? A referee that goes rogue and they fire him and he's just a twerp that cheats and... But he's awful. Like, he's not very good.
It's not that hard to act like you got hurt.
Right.
Like, just pretend like you're in pain.
Yeah, he's overacting.
Like, nobody just, like...
You know, he's playing to the last row, you know?
It's like there should have been little cartoon birds around his head.
The
douchebag.
But it was a great
pile. Does he die? I hope he just dies.
Danny Davis? No, yeah. I think he's still alive.
Damn it.
He goes back to refereeing after this little... He does this for like a year or two. He gets reinstated. But that was a good pile driver. I like that moment. Were you surprised by the finish?
Yeah, so Davis ends up pinning Davey Boy, right? Because... Yeah. How do you get... Oh, because of the megaphone.
Yeah.
Right before that, though, Santana comes in and he's just, like, going crazy nuts. And Gorilla is like, Santana's unloading on everybody. So between that and the Euchre comment, it was tough to decide the most graphic.
I'm going to have to make that a category for the show. Sexually charged comment of the show.
Yeah, I would love to award that. No one really know what we're talking about here, but if you watch the footage, there's a Davey Boy moment where he goes against the rope and he's like,
did it remind you of Asper?
Oh, absolutely. I was like, Justin?
The bulldog wallop.
Justin's in the ring? It was such a cool power slam, though. That's such a cool move. I mean, yeah. It looks cooler when the guy's half your size.
Right.
But to just, like, have a guy over your shoulder.
Did they bounce on this one? Sometimes he does it, and they bounce off the mat. He does it so hard.
Yeah, he bounced.
Yeah.
And he did his stupid pop-up thing again. Woo, 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 woo. Looks like a Street Fighter character.
Santana's unloading.
Then Brittany was actually watching this match with me. And you know how you really like something and you want someone... you know, to like it.
Yeah.
And they always come in at the worst time, and it just makes it look terrible.
Yeah.
She kept coming in during all the Danny Davis moments, and she's like, this is awful. I'm like, no, they're not all like him. But she did have laugh out loud when he hits him with the megaphone, and Gorilla's like, "Oh, he knocked him right into next week." I didn't like do an official cliche counter, but Gorilla must have been dozens.
King. He is the king of cliche. Are you going to be sad when he's gone?
Very sad.
Yeah.
I was hoping that you wouldn't say that. I was hoping that he was like one of these Vince Scully guys who...
Oh, he's there. I mean...
He's like 100 years
old.
He's
like 90... Well, he's there until 93 commentating. So we got a while. And okay. Then he sticks around in other roles for a while too. So, but I'm just saying, overall, you'll be sad when it's not him because he's so great.
He also just reiterated for us that this was a happening. Yeah. This is a happening. So...
You can cut it with electricity with a knife.
I didn't see anything wrong with what Davis did, Gorilla. That was an honest takedown.
Jesse's the best.
He is.
Magical. Too bad he's insane. All right. You ready for match number 8?
Match number 8.
The Natural, Butch Reed, taking on the Birdman, Coco Beware. I don't think we've seen either guy so far. You've heard of Coco.
I have
back channels.
I didn't know he had a parrot. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Frankie.
Frankie the parrot.
The parrot sadly died in a fire about 10 years ago.
In a fire? Wait, parrots live that long?
Yeah, they live forever.
Wow.
Hundreds of years.
Why
thousands.
Why didn't he fly away?
I don't know. He's trained too well, I guess. Maybe he was sleeping. I don't know.
You don't hear a lot of creatures.
Well, maybe it wasn't an open window or door.
I guess.
He could have tried to fly through the flames.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Coco's alive.
Well, as long as Coco's alive.
Yeah. Coco was, he was a great sadistic heel in the territories before this.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he could be a heel.
Yeah, he was. But then he comes in here, a lot of energy, dancing around, doing the bird. He came out to Morris Day and the Times' Bird, the Bird. That was a song when he first started. And then he sang his own song for an album. They released a couple of albums at this point, wrestling albums.
Yeah, Morris Day really works with the guy dancing on the cart.
Yeah.
He's the only one who made sense in the cart.
Yeah, just kind of dancing on the platform.
Yeah, it looked like a Soul Train kind of thing.
Are you intrigued to hear the wrestling albums from the 80s?
Very intrigued, yeah.
So the second one was titled Pile Driver, the album, and he sang the title track.
Oh my God.
And that's his theme for a while here, Pile Driver.
Is it like the spoken word rap kind of thing? Like
no, it's like a love ballad.
Oh.
Pile Driver.
So he can actually sing.
Oh yeah, he's got a good voice. Nice. The Birdman. Maybe we'll mail on the show with him.
Birdman.
And what'd you think of the Natural? And the blonde hair, obviously, not natural.
Yeah. Also disappointing.
Yeah. He's got the Slickster with him.
The Slickster's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Any guy with a cane. I like this long coat. We should bring that look back.
Yeah?
The long duster. Tuxedo coat, the duster.
Yeah.
I like that. This match was kind of a downer. I didn't really remember much from it. It was another quick match.
So, you know, there are matches that are meant to be that.
Yeah. I was like, maybe this was the match where, like, everyone, like, went to the concession stand.
Yeah, well, they're cooling the crowd down after the hearts and then kind of laying the... You know, the next match was going to be such a big one. They didn't want to have a hot one leading into that. So this kind of... You know, there is a method to building these shows, right? Because you don't want to burn the crowd out and then have to have them revved up for something else right after. You want to let them calm down a bit before something big. So this is kind of a cool match to get them in a good spot.
It's like a momentum feel kind of thing. How does Gorilla and Jesse go to the bathroom?
I don't think they do.
They just hold it for 3 hours?
Yeah, probably.
It's crazy. There's no commercials. I mean, Jesse, I guess he could run away, but...
Right, I mean...
always on.
Yeah, they might be... It's pretty far to the back, though. They're not really... I mean, well, I guess for this, they were, like, up in the skybox, so they could have had one up there, like, during an interview. Maybe they run back there and go. Or, like, during a video package when they're building up. I mean, they also could just go in a fucking bottle. I don't know.
I like to think that he had a portable microphone, so he just could actually... There was, like, a window, and he was just, like, calling the game while going to the bathroom. That'd been fun.
I mean, they could have had, like, a bucket under there.
Yeah, yeah.
Piss in the bucket.
There's a lot of stories like that in broadcasting.
Well, you know, the red zone guy doesn't pee. It's like an inside thing.
The red zone guy?
Yeah. They call him Iron Bladder. That was his fantasy team name.
I guess I could go 3 hours.
It depends with how much you're drinking, like, during the show. If they're just, like, sipping water to keep their mouth wet, but not really drinking much, you know?
Yeah, I'd imagine they'd have to stay hydrated, though.
Yeah.
That's a lot of using your voice.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a mystery.
Well, if I ever see Gorilla, I'm going to ask him. Wait, he's dead,
I mean, they definitely don't go pee now because they sit at ringside. So there's no way. I mean, they have to hold it because they don't leave. They never leave, and people would see them peeing in a bucket at ringside. So
that's right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Any match I remember seeing from the 90s, the announcing table is right there because they're always getting hit with wrestlers.
Yeah, so they're holding it in the whole time. A lot of strong bladders.
Coolest part of this match was that the parrot was just chilling next to the ring. He's just hanging out.
Do they do the thing where, like, sometimes Gorilla, if it timed out right, he would look away when Coco was getting beaten up, and he'd look back at the ring when he was on top?
I didn't notice.
Yeah. Gorilla. Sometimes Gorilla says it. He doesn't always say it, but sometimes he says, oh, Frankie, look it away as Coco is getting beaten up.
Frankie, you can't bear to watch.
Anything else?
I don't even remember this fight. Like, who won?
Butch Reed. This is like an establishment kind of match for him. Kind of new. Big stage, just getting the win. Coco is kind of there to help other guys get over at this point.
But then Coco was celebrating at the end. So what'd I miss?
Well, Tito came out.
Oh, Santana, right.
And he rips off Slick's clothes.
He's so magical. He's like a little fairy.
Slick?
Tito. He comes in the ring and he's just like, justice!
Right.
Serving justice!
Beats the guy, rips his clothes off, and runs away. It's that hot Latino blood.
That's so funny.
All right. Let's get fired up. It is now time for the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
That song loses all of its luster when you bring in a mini ring. I just keep coming back to this.
You don't like the rings, huh?
But it's just like, it's a walking song. Yeah. Like, Macho Man's got the cape. Let the guy walk out.
Yeah, like a phoenix. Taking on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Big time grudge match, as you remember. Savage injured Steamboat's...
That's a theme with Savage, almost killing people.
What did he injure?
His larynx.
Yes. If you remember, Steamboat had to suffer through trying to talk, regained his ability to talk. He comes back here. Actually, he came back at Saturday's main event and then sets up this match. They had some really good matches around the country, which I think we watched one or two. This is obviously the most famous. To this point, considered the greatest match of WrestleMania history, and some still consider it that.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a great match.
14 and a half minutes. The pace is insane.
They're flying all over the place.
And one of the big things that's known about it is the 23 two counts in the match.
Oh, yeah. There was one sequence where Steamboat tried to pin him like a good 10 times in a row. It was crazy.
I think it's 16 of the 23 are from Savage.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a great match. Let me ask you this. Did you feel that they brought enough hate to the match for what the feud was?
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, a lot of hate. Because even Steamboat, he like tied him up in the ropes. He was punching him. And that's not like a typical Steamboat move.
Right.
Kind of low. They looked like they really hate each other. These guys are good.
So watching this, good did you sellers. Feel that this was the best match you've seen? You could see this being a... As someone who hasn't watched a lot of matches and not in the mindset of saying, oh, this is the stars or whatever, did you feel like looking at this, you would say masterpiece?
Yes, absolutely.
5 stars.
Yeah, this was the only match that I, well, not the only match, but one of the two matches that I actually rewound during. So I've actually seen it probably like 5 times.
Right.
And even the 5th time I saw it, I was still like, oh, like there was stuff I missed or whatever.
Right, picking up new stuff. What'd you think of George Steele being out there?
Did that ruin it for you? Did that take away the 5 stars?
No. I mean, I don't like Steele, but it was a good part of the story because Savage had been torturing him for like a year. He's in love with Liz. Savage is fighting him off and fucking with him. So it was part of the story. Like it brought everything. It brought the whole last year together. Mm. That Steamboat and Steele, the two guys Savage kind of terrorized for the last year, have, you know, fought him off and taken his beloved title.
He didn't really factor in very much until right at the end. I was kind of, you know, the romantic in me. I was hoping to see some more, like, Liz action.
Yeah.
Like, maybe she gives him a little kiss or something. I don't know.
Savage was never going to allow Elizabeth to, like, kiss another guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, she kisses him, and then he, like, punches Elizabeth in the face. You know, just, like, really bring it to the domestic level.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. Also, they kept closing. Something I didn't notice about the animal, he has so much back hair. But his head is, like, totally clean-shaven.
Yeah.
They should just leave his head a little messy, let the baldness grow out, because it's weird. It's, like, this gorilla hair and then this, like, perfectly, like, obviously very expensive manicured head.
Yeah.
Doesn't really and the crazy mesh eyebrows. Together. Yeah.
Effortless, right? Just so smooth, both guys. Like, nothing off, no steps missed, just...
Yeah. There's no, like, there's not a lot of...
Jazz. It's perfect jazz.
Perfect jazz, yeah. I like that. There's not a lot of, what do you call the bear hug move?
Yeah. Bear hug?
No, but you had a name for it, like for the guys to catch their breath.
A rest hold.
Yeah. There's not a lot of resting. It doesn't seem like a lot of it was choreographed. Yeah. Even though obviously it was, but yeah, they just like...
Savage was a notorious choreographer. Like he would... He was notorious for planning everything out. Like the whole match out ahead of time.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Because he has so much going on in his matches.
Right. All over the place. That's why he's one of the greatest of all time. That's why he'll be my number one in the greatest Doty wrestler ever project.
He's your goat?
He's got it all. Can talk.
How do your colleagues feel about that? Is this one of these things where like Justin's way off? He's more like a 6-7 guy?
No. I think most have him probably top 5, maybe top 3. And I've seen many say he'll be in contention for the number one. Hmm. He's got everything. I mean, we haven't really seen him. Well, we saw a little bit of him as a face, but he's such a good face too with his selling. And
this is so exciting because I love lists.
Yeah.
Who else do you... Well, maybe I shouldn't ask that yet.
Yeah.
Anybody I know who would be in the running?
Hogan will be top 2 or 3 for me.
Oh. So this is kind of like the Jordan and Bird era of Hogan and Savage wrestling together?
Yeah. And then there's some that come like Stone Cold. You know, he'll probably be up there. Bruno Sammartino, who we haven't seen matches of, but he interviewed.
Bruno Sammartino, I haven't even heard of him.
Yeah, he was he's the guy that yelled at Randy Savage in the back after he attacked Steamboat, remember? He was yelling at him.
Oh, so he's like a 90s guy?
No, he's from like the 60s and 70s and 80s, early 80s.
Oh, okay.
But he was like a commentator at that point. Remember, he was yelling at Savage?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, he's legendary.
I'll have to YouTube him later,
though. Well, there's actually, if you go, you should watch this. We may not go back and watch. On the WWE Network, if you go under the collections, there's a Bruno collection that just has a whole bunch of matches of his. It's a good snapshot of like the 60s and 70s, like what it was like watching back then. Hmm. But he's awesome. All right, any more thoughts on this one? Best match we've seen so far, obviously.
Definitely the best match. It was dark.
Yeah.
And the first couple times I watched it, I thought maybe they just started it when the sun was up, but it's a dome. So Did they have the dome open and then close it?
No, I think the dome was like clear.
Oh, okay.
So the light still plays a role.
Oh, okay.
In the dome.
This match...
It was definitely nighttime now.
It had like a more primetime feel.
Right.
Jesse said Larnix again.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. It's just a hard word for him.
Yeah, can't do it.
There was a great move.
There's definitely a whole generation of people that grew up calling it Larnix because they heard it here.
It's kind of like millennials saying nuclear.
Right, because they heard it there. So
George Bush.
Yeah.
There was a great feat of strength where Steamboat got thrown out of the ring and he was holding onto the rope and he pulled himself up and flipped.
Skin the cat.
He did a reverse pull-up from, like, below the surface. Like, that was incredible.
It's called a skin the cat.
Skin the cat.
Yeah.
That actually has a name.
Yep. Shawn Michaels will do a really good one, but Steamboat is Scott Criscoll. Steamboat's probably the best of all time. He was excellent at it. It's amazing. It's amazing strength.
It was, like, that gives him credibility as a legitimate martial artist.
Right.
Like, if he didn't want to do the whole professional wrestling thing, he probably could have been, like, a top judo guy or whatever. Aces. Although he's a bad talker. Maybe it was just the one interview.
Yeah.
But the pre-interview was terrible.
Yeah? You didn't get chills?
Like, it's going to end today. And da, 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 da. He was just like, nah.
He's just a serious... I was
like, all right, now I'm rooting for Savage.
He's just a serious good guy. You know? Not the best talker, sure. But he's just out there trying to wrestle.
Definitely a surprising finish.
Yeah? Were you surprised Steamboat won?
Very surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
After all the build-up and everything?
Yeah. I thought, you know, because he's the good guy, had his larynx injured, that he would have the match won and then the same thing would happen. And he goes and he grabs the bell again. Can we just, like, nail the bell down to the wall? Like, anchor it somehow?
Yeah.
But, because I figured that Savage would have the Intercontinental title for a while and Hogan would have the main title and it would just lead to them, like, a super... undefeated match kind of thing. But now, like, Steamboat won, so, like...
Yeah, that's over. Yeah, you had to end the story with him winning, though. I mean, the big comeback. Savage has held the title now for over a year, 14 months. It's been his beloved IC title, so this is, like, really destroying him for him to lose. Yeah, I mean, it was the first 5-star match on pay-per-view that they had. Again, some consider it the best match in WrestleMania history, some consider it the best... if not that, the best Intercontinental title match ever. There are ones that may surpass it. We'll see. But it's definitely held in very high regard for many It's a real sprint for 14 minutes. They just go balls to the wall.
It leads a good question about if the referee can't finish, how does the match end?
They bring another referee out.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen a referee just not finish a match.
Well, I mean, you got the flying elbow when the guy was unconscious.
Oh, you mean legit, like you mean in the story.
Match, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like he like gasses out and you literally can't work anymore.
Well, either way.
Yeah, no, sometimes they'll bring another referee in.
You could almost have an argument that Savage deserved a new referee.
Right.
And so he's just like waiting for the guy to wake up. That's not...
Yeah. Well, that's how they also kind of protect guys, like we've talked about before. So Savage kind of looked like he had the match won. He lost, but he still kind of wins because he can claim
he can
that
he
had
him beat. Yeah. The end was great. I want a poster made. If anyone out there knows how to make a poster, let me know, because Savage crying into his elbow on the golf cart. Ah, it was gorgeous.
I thought you were going to say Steamboat hugging George Steele and holding the title up.
Well, if we could do a split screen poster, that would be nice.
You could probably get one of the Steamboat. That's like the belt. He's hugging on the cart and holding the belt up.
That was great.
Anything else on this one?
Well, I'm excited to see if there's a rematch or it's just, you know, Savage is Savage.
Yeah. There'll be plenty of Savage to come.
Can't wait for the comeback.
All right, we head to match number 10, the Honky Tonk Man taking on Jake the Snake Roberts. So
the Mr. Irrelevant bout.
Yeah. tough to follow.
Jesus.
But Jake, so Jake was a heel. I think we saw a couple of his matches as a heel, right, with Steamboat?
Yeah, but he's one of these heels that's so cool that...
Well, that's what happened. The crowd was cheering him too much. They had him feuding with Hulk Hogan, and the crowd was booing Hogan, cheering Jake. So they had they ended abruptly that feud and turned them face.
He's just a guy you want to have a beer with,
yeah,
and have him use a snake to smite your enemies.
He's a badass. Really great look, especially in the '80s. The snake kind of metal.
He doesn't even
look.
Have to, like you were talking about Junkyard Dog being out of shape.
Right.
Jake Snake is a pudgy bastard. He's got no muscle tone at all. Doesn't even matter because he has the hair.
Right.
And
the charisma.
He's a cool dude.
He just connected easy with the crowd. He just knew how to bring you in. Yeah. So he had turned in the Honky Tonk Man, actually debuted as a face, but he was awful.
I find that hard to believe.
He was awful.
He's the worst.
And they did this poll to turn him heel. They did a vote of confidence poll, and the fans voted if they liked him or not, basically. And everyone hated him. And so that was his impetus to turn.
So you got like 10% favorable?
Yeah, basically. So that was his impetus to turn into like an asshole. And he ends up becoming one of the best heels ever because he's just a cowardly little prick.
Yeah, it's like he's trying to do like an Elvis impression, right. But Elvis is great.
Yeah.
He's nothing like Elvis. Right.
So he's like a worm wannabe Elvis.
Ugh.
He's easy to hate, right?
They showed a clip of...
With the Colonel.
With, was it the Piper Show, whatever. He hits Snake in the face.
That was a snake pit. So it was Jake's...
He had his own show
called
The Snake Pit? Yeah. That is hilarious.
Yeah. There's a lot of shows that mock, like kind of come
you
off...
You come out like on the couch, yeah. Like cucumber water, and Jake the Snake asks you questions.
No, it was like in a pit, like a cave set.
That's great. But he got hit in the face with a guitar. Was that like a mistake? Because
so,
the guitar broke. I'm like, he got a concussion from that.
So they did not gimmick the guitar. They used a real one for some stupid reason. And that legitimately fucked his neck up. And he eventually got hooked on painkillers. And he became a massive drug addict for years.
He really hit him.
Yeah. That like was the root of a lot of his physical problems.
Jesus Christ. The Honky Tonk Man
pissed
ruined his career.
His life. Because he becomes a fucking crackhead for like... Long time. He just got clean like a few years ago. Started doing DDP yoga.
Yikes.
So he...
I really hope that's a thing.
It is.
DDP yoga?
Yeah.
I'm on it.
You should do it. It's great. So yeah, that's how this all came about. Honky hit him with the guitar, fucked his neck up. Jake's got Alice Cooper with him. Again, beefing up his cool cred right away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good fit, right? The snake, the metal, like everything, it was kind of fit right in.
Well, what do you mean by beefing up his cool cred?
Like he's a cool guy, and he's got a big heavy metal star with him. That's like a cool guy, makes him even cooler. You don't think Alice Cooper's cool?
Well, I guess
in 1987, well, he was pretty cool in 87.
Well, they made fun of him. Like even Gorilla and Jesse made fun of him. They're like, oh, look at this guy's arms. Well, he doesn't spend much time in the...
Yeah, but he's still cool. I mean, the visual of like this wrestler being with Alice Cooper in 1987 is going to jack up his like.
This
cred.
Came out before Wayne's World, right?
Yeah.
Because
Wayne's World was like 90, wasn't it?
Yeah. There's that scene where they go backstage and Alice Cooper talks about like the economy.
Yeah.
And he had this a similar thing. He's like, yes, this is the hometown of heavy metal. And today we are excited about the bout.
Yeah.
This is my preferred. It's like, oh, Alice Cooper is going to.
So you don't think it made him cool then? You don't think it made Jake extra cool?
No, yeah, I guess so. I just didn't really think of it. I just thought he was another pop celebrity.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess he was a rock star in the 80s. So, yeah, I'll give you that one.
Okay. What'd you think of the match?
It was kind of... He never actually DDT'd him, did he?
No, he never gets it. He slithers out of every attempt, Honky.
It was one of those matches where I'm not even worried about the outcome because, like, a snake versus a guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obvious.
It also kind of never gets going, really. They just kind of start and stop a lot.
Yeah, I think the mouth kind of ruined it. It was all mouthy.
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
The Colonel. When he's with Honky, he's the Colonel.
Right, of course.
Were you surprised Honky won?
I was very surprised, yes.
Jake's one of those guys already that's so great and so over that he can lose matches and be okay.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need to win.
Yeah, I was like Gorilla said, it was more of like a theft than a win. It was just, it was like a classic. It was like a win that you kind of see on the non-major pay-per-view events.
Right.
Like I'm saying, the Phil Nelson match, like, why can't they be nicer? Why can't they give you a better ending?
Yeah.
It's just like, let Honk.
At least that was kind of the only shit ending. I mean, this works because Honky's whole thing is that he's a worm, cheats wins, like, he can't win on his own. Like, that's kind of his thing. He's just a slimy chicken shit.
Yeah. Especially when Alice Cooper comes after him.
Right.
And they're like, oh, Cooper's going after the mouth. I'm like, he's twice his size.
Well, I meant Honky.
Oh, okay.
Honky's a slimy chicken shit, but Jimmy Hart is too.
Yeah, they're both kind of slimy.
What did you think of the end with the snake? Cool moment?
Yeah. Although I bet PETA was all over them, huh?
Well, I don't know. I think he, well.
Like, threw the snake on him.
Yeah.
The snake probably didn't like that.
It's a snake.
They don't like to fall. They like to be on the ground. He could have, like, placed it around his neck nicely.
The murderous animals. Mean Gene announces the indoor attendance record, 93,173. Did you have anything else on that match, by the way? I just kind of ended it.
No, not really. Just, you know, snake and they run away. They make fun of Alice Cooper. It's pretty funny.
All right, we got one more match.
And Mean Gene comes out, and I'm like, who cares?
Right. Well, like, he's announcing the attendance. It's a big deal.
I want to. How's Beaver? Why don't you give me a Beaver update? Is he in the hospital? Is he okay?
Beaver stinks. All right, so...
Nice.
You like it. All right, so this is really the graveyard match right here. Everyone's just wanting Hogan Andre. And we got to get through one more fucking match with Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik.
I was shocked. I was shocked when this match was announced.
Against the Killer Bees.
I'm like, all right, here it is. Because we just had the Jake the Snake match. Like, what? And the Killer Bees? Aww.
This is like just...
We'll get some peanuts.
Right. This is go take your final piss. Go get your last beer. You're not going to miss Hogan Andre.
Were the Killer Bees the champions?
No.
Okay.
The Hart Foundation was.
All right. I thought I heard something about champions.
So Volkoff and Sheik.
What is their name, by the way? Do they have a group name?
No.
They're just Volkoff and
some
Sheik?
Some call them the Foreign Legion.
Foreign Legion.
That was not their name.
They might as well just have called them the terrorists or the communists or whatever.
The jerks.
Jesus.
So Jim Duggan at ringside, he had just recently debuted Hacksaw, and he stands for all law and order and all that is right in America.
Yes, America is all about 2x4s, beards,
sunglasses,
and eye for an eye type statements.
Bandanas.
What a dope.
The land of the free and the home of the brave.
The best way to feel good about yourself is start chanting USA in front of 93,000 people. Or 76,000 people.
USA! It's such a great contradiction, too. He's like, you can't sing your national anthem because this is the land of the free.
Yeah, it's so hypocritical.
Yeah.
It's like, you cheat, so we're going to cheat, too.
Right.
Because that's about America.
I thought Sheik looked really good here. He was in great shape.
Oh, yeah.
And throwing guys around. And
he was huge.
Yeah.
All these little genie boots.
Yeah. And genie pants.
Genie boots and genie pants.
And then Duggan comes in, hits the bees, or hits Sheiky. Is it Sheik? Yeah, it's Sheik with the 2x4.
He's doing the camel clutch, and he
2x4s
him.
Get the DQ. This is really just to set up Doug in as an All-American guy.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, why not put the Savage Steamboat match before this match?
So, I mean, that's one theory of how to build a card. Like, you get to that, and, like, these days they do more of that kind of stuff where they stack the big matches. At this point, they were really more about that up and down crescendo. Like, bring them up with that, cool them off. Bring them up, cool them off. So I don't think they wanted... And honestly, I mean, Savage Steamboat went out there to steal the show. I mean, that would have been hard for Hogan to follow. You know what I mean? Like that... You kind of want something like this that Hogan's going to feel fucking great no matter what. If you're following that Savage Steamboat match, it's like, does it seem as good when they're lumbering around? I mean, it's a great spectacle, but Hogan and Andre lumbering around the ring, coming off Savage and Steamboat, going balls to the wall for 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's get to it. Hulk Hogan, defending his title against his former friend, Andre the Giant, stabbed him in the back...
For no reason, apparently.
Well, he won a title shot.
I watched the recap. Could he just ask for a title shot?
He just had to ask.
He just left. So, he's like, Andre, please. Andre, please, we're friends. Why are you doing this to me? Why?
But it's great. So we've talked about this before, right? Bobby Heenan. We go back a year to WrestleMania 2.
Sicily, WrestleMania 2.
Hogan throws him around the cage and beats the shit out of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you recall.
Yeah.
So we come here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. So that happens. He gets Paul Orndorff to turn on his best friend, right? On Hulk Hogan.
Because he didn't answer the phone.
Right, but he got in his head. He turned on him. He went after the title.
I was in the gym.
Hogan dispatches a Paul Orndorff, beats up Bobby in the cage again. Bobby's next step. You know, turn another friend against you. An even better friend that can beat the shit out of you and take the title finally. So the backstory of this, even beyond what used to... I don't know how much was in the package, but... So Andre, have we watched anything with the Machines?
No.
Okay. So there was this mystery mask team that was feuding with Bobby Heenan called the Machines. And they would have different guys under the mask. So one was the Giant Machine. It was clearly Andre. But Andre had been suspended by Jack Tunney. And Heenan said, if I can prove that it's Andre under the mask, he'll be suspended permanently. And Tunney was like, okay, if you can prove it's him. So he was able to prove it was Andre the Giant, and Andre got suspended. In reality, he was off to have like back surgery or... Maybe it was Princess Bride, one of the two.
Right.
So all of a sudden, Andre gets reinstated. And it get leaked out that Bobby Heenan was at the hearing. And he plays all coy for a while. And they're like, why were you there, Bobby? Why are you there? And he doesn't say anything. And then it turns out when I'll produce Andre if you can produce Hogan at the Piper's Pit. And that's where Andre reveals that he's with Bobby now. Bobby got him reinstated and convinced him that he should be the champion. Hogan never gave him the title shot he deserved. And he should challenge him. So, really great story.
Yeah.
Two lifelong friends.
That makes more sense if you know the whole suspension story.
Yeah. So, two big friends. Legendary icons. Andre, the greatest of all time. Never had the title. Going after Hogan. Big time moment. Take me through your thoughts.
Well... It's weird because leading up to this, you told me that Andre didn't really need the title because mm-hmm. he had already done so much. And even though they're billing him as undefeated, he's not actually undefeated.
Right.
So basically, Andre is just hanging on to make Hulk Hogan a bigger star.
Yes.
I was torn.
Did it take it away from you or anything, or did you still enjoy the moment?
It was a great fight, but... It was weird because I love Andre.
Yeah.
And it's like been Hogan's Invincible this whole time I've been watching. And it kind of been cool to see Andre win. So I didn't really know, but I didn't really like his whole heel thing either. It didn't really make sense. If he had just like some psychotic vendetta,
right,
which they previewed earlier in the show because they had Heenan and Andre was just standing there. He didn't move or say anything. I was like, that's kind of cool. Maybe he's just focused. He just wants the title. And then right before the match, Andre's like, I'm going to beat Hulk. I'm like, why is he talking now?
Yeah.
He wasn't talking earlier, and now he's talking. And now he's just a jerk.
He is a jerk. He became a jerk.
And
he got blinded by Heenan.
Yeah, so now... I mean, it's... If they were going to say Hogan given his whole story and Andre given his whole story and they had to have a fight, it was like a perfect result, I think.
Right.
That's... Even though I kind of wish Andre had won.
Was it the most epic match you've watched so far?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of something else I could compare it to.
There's nothing that you've seen compares to this.
No, it was, it's like watching, I don't know, it was like watching Mike Tyson. It was like watching,
Right.
Joe Montana. It was just a great, you know, Hogan versus Andre.
What about the stare down to start?
It was cool. I was thinking he was just standing there looking at this 300-pound dude with 24-inch pythons. And he had like this ridiculous face. And I was like, if Andre the Giant just stood in the middle of the road and you drove your car into him, like, the car would get damaged.
Yeah.
The guy is, like, a beast.
I love the look on his face where he's just looking down at Hogan, like, you know, just like, fuck you.
Yeah, he's like the Rocky IV dude.
Yeah.
Only bigger.
And not Russian. So right off the bat, Hogan goes to slam Andre, and he falls on him, and we get the two count, right, where he thinks he won. He holds up the fingers.
Yeah.
And so that controversy plays in down the road. So keep that one in mind, where Andre believes he had him beat at that point.
Yeah, but you can't do that. There's so many two counts. All of a sudden, you're going to talk about two counts?
Well, he's arguing it was a three. They argue that Hogan didn't get a shoulder up in time. That'll be their bitch.
But that was all on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what did you think of it as a match? Slow?
Well, it's always going to be like that. These two giant guys who can't really move.
Right.
But,
did it matter, though?
Not really. It's still cool to see Andre choking a guy.
Right.
Or just picking him up over his head. Or, shoulder blocking him in the buckle. Also, I don't know if you noticed this, but he shoulder blocks and then he winks at somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder who that is. What if it's a girl? And then I thought to myself, this guy's bigger than Shaq. And Shaq had trouble finding women because he's so big.
Right.
What kind of woman would bang Andre?
I think he banged quite a bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I would love to do like a sexual partner retrospective.
Well, there's going to be that Bill Simmons biography on Andre soon. So. Oh,
damn it. That guy steals all my ideas.
Yeah. He's an asshole. Andre used to also shit in bathtubs because he couldn't fit in the toilet in hotel rooms.
He couldn't do the hover? Like the Japanese squat.
Yeah, but he was also just kind of an angry man. All right, what do we think of the finish? The slam, iconic moment?
It was amazing. I actually called Brittany. I would never think to do this, but I actually called her back into the room. I was like, Britt, you got to watch this. It's Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. She's like, I have stuff to do, yada, yada. But then I saw it, and I was like, ah! So I stopped it, rewound it, called her back in the room, and she was like, oh, my God. How big is that guy? I was like, yes, and watch what happens. And she's like, oh, my God, that's impossible. I'm like, yes, that was impossible. He's never been slammed before. Has he never been slammed before? Or is this like a Big John Studd thing that he actually has been slammed before?
Well, no.
Oh, man. You're just ruining everything for me.
Well, the Big John Studd thing was a tongue-in-cheek, I've never been slammed, but he'd been slammed a million times. Andre had been slammed, but not within that canon of WWF. Hogan actually slammed him. They fought in the WWF in 1980. Hogan was a heel, and he slammed him then. And Andre had been slammed by other people. But no. In that, like, since Vince McMahon took over and it became, like, the WWF, Andre had never been slammed. Anyone who was watching then probably hadn't really seen him be slammed, I guess, is my point.
It was the way they set it up was right. Just perfect. The fact that he gets knocked down and then...
Right, it's like a huge deal that he just falls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was cool to watch.
And then the leg drop and the three count. Jesse's pissed.
What if you can't slam him, though? Do they have to practice before to make sure that he can actually pull it off, especially after 10 minutes of fighting? He's got to be tired.
Yeah, well, I mean, Andre's helping him, right? He's kind of jumping up so he can help him out. I mean, Hogan's... we'll get into that.
I wish that after the pin, Andre, like, kind of like Apollo Creed, gave him a little hug.
No, because they still got a lot more to the story. Time. It's not over.
He keeps the heel thing up. It's like,
it's not over.
It was a little disappointing. But, I mean, is there anything... maybe I should just stop watching. Is there anything better than that? Like, Real American playing?
Depends what you think
Andre the Giant
better.
Walking out?
I mean, for many, that's the peak, you know? But there's good stuff to come. There's some good stuff to come that hopefully you'll like a lot. But this could be your peak. You're such a big Andre fan. This could be it. Many people felt that way. They felt that it's never been better than that right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I was watching the end, I was very conflicted. I felt kind of like when you see the season finale or the series finale of your favorite show.
Right.
But also it's like, well, I have so much more wrestling to watch.
Yeah.
But this event because all the stories that you showed me over the past few months, I thought they would be opening up more stuff. I thought like more people would be making enemies. They'd be like crazy, like, I don't know. Like there was a few things, like with a guy, I forget his name, the guy with the Canadian shorts.
Dino Bravo?
Yeah. So there was that, but I expected more of that.
Right. Well, WrestleMania is more of a...
This was like, this whole thing was like wrapping up all these stories.
Yes. WrestleMania is, at the, for a long time, WrestleMania is the end of the year. It's the end of the wrestling year. It's the culmination of everything, the biggest stories and everything, and then everything kind of reboots right after. It's not like that as much anymore. But I mean, Hogan Andre continues, so it's not really the end.
Oh.
It's the end of the Invincible Andre. He just becomes like a foil. It's the end of the Andre who's never been slammed or beaten.
Just so I'm not gonna watch a pay-per-view or WrestleMania with Andre tag teaming with midgets, though.
No, he's always pretty revered.
Okay.
He does dip a little bit, obviously, but he's never... You have another year of him, like, at top level.
Well, that's good news, because this is a little bittersweet, but yeah. I just want to see some more.
So if you were making a list, since you love lists...
I love lists.
Would you rank Steamboat Savage higher or Hogan Andre?
I have to put Hogan Andre higher.
Okay.
Because Steamboat... I don't like him. It was a great match.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a big Steamboat fan. Like, these two...
So the moment means more to you or the connection?
Yeah, well, both.
Okay. More than a wrestling match. Like, you're more into a spectacle.
Also, the Intercontinental thing, it doesn't really do much for me yet.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, there's only one champion.
Right. Okay. It's a perfectly valid take.
It's like when Nazim Hamed was fighting. It's like, did anybody care about him? No, they just wanted to see Mike Tyson fight again.
Right. Or Nazim Muhammad.
Is that a fighter?
No, he's a basketball player.
Oh. I was going to say, that name sounds familiar.
All right, so WrestleMania 3. Well, any more thoughts on Hogan Andre? You're good.
No, that's good.
Okay. So WrestleMania 3. Live up to your hype. Live up to the expectations.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 is the best thing you've watched so far?
By far. By far the best thing I've watched. It was worth the 3-month hiatus to study.
To get up to this. No one has ever put so much work into preparing to talk about WrestleMania 3 as you have.
I don't even remember my sister's wedding in Seattle because I was just taking notes and reading backlogs, like journal entries about this show.
All right, so we've decided to kind of take this path of, I liked doing the full show, and I feel like the pay-per-views give you such a good, I want you to see different characters and different feuds and matches, and they tell the story so well. So I think going forward, what we're really going to do is pay-per-view and then a conglomerate of matches that weren't on the pay-per-view leading up to the next pay-per-view. So like we do WrestleMania 3, then we're going to watch a bunch of matches between now and the next pay-per-view, and then we'll watch the whole next pay-per-view.
Yeah,
did you like watching the whole show and talking about the whole show? Is it easier?
Yeah, because it's like an experience. Like, I also enjoy watching an array of matches from different shows and stuff like that. But this is also good too, especially if it's a historic show.
Right.
I felt like I...
Well, and you get to see everyone. You get to see, like, we probably would have never watched Billy Jack Haynes' match, but we get to talk about him. You know, so
Billy Jack. When are you coming back?
You got to pick the ending song. Do you want... we have Pile Driver by Coco. We got Billy Jack. We got the Wedding Bell Blues, whatever the fuck it was.
A lot of choices.
We'll surprise you. All right, so we're out. I don't know when we'll be back.
Hey, so we're definitely going chronologically, but yes. If you guys have any suggestions for Justin on how we should be doing this, like what kind of stuff I should be watching and over the course of the next few months, then... Hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, or any of our other channels, facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. subscribe to all our feeds on iTunes, Place to Be Nation Wrestling, Place to Be Nation Pop, and Pro Wrestling Only.
I need to learn. I want to be taught.
Place to Be, I'm trying. PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. And read our ebooks on the right side of placemation.com.
Oh, yeah. Seriously, do that Amazon.com thing because I never remember to do that. It's so easy. Just go to the website and click on the Amazon thing. Why do I never do it?
You don't even have
I'm just
going to
give you guys like $200.
You don't even have to do that anymore. You just go to placemation.com/Amazon.
/Amazon.
It takes you right to Amazon.
Just do it.
Right. It's easy. All right. We'll be back at some point. We don't know when.
I don't think we don't have any vacations planned.
Stay tuned for the special Jeff Learns Wrestling Christmas edition.
Our next plan will be, though, to fill the gap of the summer into the fall of 87. That's our next stretch of matches we're going to hit up. So I hope you enjoyed this. If this is your first time listening, relive the backlog on our feed. Until then, Jeffrey, I think that's about it.
All right.
Go sleep with a midget.
I will get back to you. Me and Mr. Basketball, Bob Uecker.
Baseball.
I thought it was basketball.
Nausea mode. Don't forget the sounds like a fight. It sounds like an argument. It sounds just like a power driver. Yeah, a power driver. Well, sometimes love, it just feels straight. First you think you're so strong, but something goes wrong. It feels like a great big mistake. Sometimes love feels just right. It feels so real. It feels just like a power driver. Yeah, a power driver. You're right beside her. Your heart's on fire. She got you hardwired. It feels